Amen. Before we do our worship this morning, I feel like the Lord wants me to sing this song this morning. I haven't sang this song in many years since I was trying to think when the last time I sang it. My mom loves this song, but today I'm going to sing this song for my friend, Mrs. Mitchell, for her sister, Lottie Mae. And it's called Sheltered in the Arms of God. Hopefully I can remember it. I feel the touch of heaven so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught on earth shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. Sheltered, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught on earth will harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Yes, I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you that we're sheltered in your arms this morning. Show me your way. Thank you. devil trying to get into the spirit here. I'm going to have to get a new microphone stand. I got to put that on my... Somebody was rough with this thing and keeps falling out. I hit the piano a while ago. Anyway, we love you, Lord. Sorry about that. Think about us more. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace. It's brought us through.
Sanctuary. Hallelujah. How I love Jesus. Just about sit in the presence of the Lord. Just not say a word. Let's just take a few seconds. Jesus. So good to us, Lord. So good to us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, as we step, Lord, so gently into your word today, Lord, this time of worship, God, let our hearts not transition out of the place that we're in right now, Lord. For you've cultivated in our hearts through worship and your presence, God, ready ground to receive this word. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Eva, for leading us into the presence of the Lord. Wonderful. Believe it or not, we don't share notes of what we're going to bring on Sunday morning, but I would say these songs were spot on. I would have chosen myself had I sang for the word this morning. Amen. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to be reading out of verses 44 through 58. Matthew 13. Starting in verse 44 through 58. Hallelujah. The word of God is precious. Amen. I don't believe that we could do without the word of God. I believe it's a treasure for all of those that would seek after it. They would find great riches in it. Amen. That's really what this word is about this morning that I have. I would title it The Treasure of Treasures. I heard a story one time about a mother who had a few children. And in the mall, we've all been to the mall, the food court. You have those people that stand out there and give samples of what their companies are selling. And this mother had seen Cinnabon, and they were giving out samples at Cinnabon. And she sent her children over to each one get a sample of it. And her children said, "Do you want us to bring you something back?" And she said, "No, I don't need anything." Sent the children over there. And as soon as the children got back, you know, as most mothers do, just took a little sample off the sampler of each of the children. And they said, "Mom, I thought you didn't want anything from over there. You know, you're eating this thing that we've got." After they finished the sampler, they said, "Can we go buy something?" She said, "Yeah, go get what you want." And they said, "Mom, do you want anything?" She said, "No." And they went and they bought what they wanted from the Cinnabon, and they came back, and she just began to pick off of their food and eat it. And when I heard that story, the man that shared it made this statement. He said, "Many Christians are like this, trying to get full off of samples of the Word of God rather than partaking in the fullness of it themselves." And, you know, a lot can be said about people that come on Sundays. And I commend you for coming on Sundays. Thank you. I appreciate it. But if the only Word or Bible that you're getting is on Sundays, you're simply just getting samples of the Word of God. You're living from week to week on just one ration of real food in your life. And so as I minister this morning, I want us to keep that thought in the back of our minds as we go through the Word of God and really look at the Word of God as sustenance that we have to have. It is a treasure. If someone came to you and said, "I'll give you the answers to life," would you reject them and them handing you everything that you would need to know in your life, answering every question? Well, we would never do that. And I can tell you, the Spirit of God has breathed those answers into this precious book. And so we sit here today with the answers to all of our questions wrapped up into 66 books of this beautiful Word of God. Amen. It is the treasure of treasures. Verse 44 says this: "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and he sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Verse 51, "Jesus said to them, 'Have you understood all these things?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he said to them, 'Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasure, things new and old.'" Verses 53 says, "Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brother James, Joses, Simon, Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?' So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house.' Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Now, I read the fullness of this from 44 on to 57 because I want to explain that as Jesus talks, Jesus means something when he says what he says. These are not meaningless parables. These aren't proverbs of moral wisdom. Jesus constantly is painting a picture of his divine self. He is constantly testifying of who he rightfully is. Every time that he talks, every time that he performs miracles, Jesus is exclaiming through words who he is and what he's come to do, right? And I want to prove that to you. I want to go back into the beginning of these parables, right? The first parable being, and the kingdom of heaven is likened unto what? A treasure that is hid in a field. And at the stumbling upon this treasure, a man hides it again. And he goes away and sells everything that he owns in order to purchase the field. Listen to this. Jesus Christ is the true treasure. In him there is an abundance of all that which is rich and useful and will be a portion for us all fullness. Colossians 1:19 says, for in him all of the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. John 1:16 says, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And these are treasures of wisdom and knowledge, of righteousness, grace, and peace. These are laid up for us in Christ. And if we have an interest in him, it is all our own. See, the necessity of the Christian is that when we come under the revelation of who Christ is. Now, I don't know about you, but as I stumbled along in life, anybody remember the time before Jesus? Anybody remember those days? Them BC days before Christ? You know what I'm talking about? You're wandering through life, right? And I want to just paint this picture off of this parable because life is very similar probably to what this man experienced in this parable. Desolate wasteland. That feel about right for everybody before Christ? Just walking through life, desolate wasteland. Nothing's fulfilling, nothing satisfying, but searching nonetheless. You know, I don't believe this man had a shovel, but I believe he stumbled upon it, like the Word of God said. And I actually heard a story from an evangelist one time. He knew of this man from Canada. And while he was in Canada, this man was a real estate agent, not the evangelist. But the man from Canada was a real estate agent. He's down on his luck and just not able to sell any properties, not really able to provide for his family. And one day he had a lot that was under his agency that he had went out. And in his frustration, he's just walking this ground, basically crying out to God, crying out to the whatever he believed in that moment, just crying out into this openness. And as he does it, he just kicks this rock. And when he kicks it, this substance begins to boil up. It almost sounds like, what's his name, Jed? The Beverly Hillbillies, yeah. An old Jed out there just shooting at a rabbit, you know. And all of a sudden this substance comes up. And this man has no idea what it is. But he just assumes that it's something. And so he takes a water bottle, dumps it out, and he fills this bottle up with the substance that comes out from under this rock. And he goes to a friend who is able to take it into a lab and to conduct a test on it, see what it is. And as he tested it, he comes back to his real estate friend and he says, listen, this is the most pure crude oil that I've ever seen. It's just pure crude oil. And so the real estate agent, he says, don't tell anybody about this. And he goes home and he tells his wife, you're going to think I'm crazy, but we have to put our house up for sale. And I mean, not just our house, I mean everything we have. And so the real estate agent, they put up their house, they have a yard sale, they sell his Lazy Boy, they sell his spoons, they sell everything. And at the end of it, he acquires the money to buy this field, and he takes his wife out there, and she's looking at it, and she goes, now why have we sold everything to purchase this awful lot? There's nothing that looks good about it. It looked terrible. Why do we do this? And he takes the water bottle out, and he takes the test results out, and he says, because of this. As if she's supposed to know what that means, you know. Us men are good at that. Because of this, you know. And turns out they end up doing drilling on this, and they end up becoming billionaires in Canada. And just at this stroke of luck, this stroke of chance, that this had happened to them. And you know, our life is not too far from that before Christ, wandering into the wasteland, wandering into the abyss, wandering into the unknown, just littered this forward future of our life, of just desolate wasteland, not fulfilling. And when we stumbled upon Christ, was it not the same feeling when you stumbled upon Christ? When you kicked over this revelation of a Savior, it was like finding a gold nugget in the ground. Could you imagine panning for gold out west and coming across a gold nugget? You'd want to stake a claim, wouldn't you? You'd want to immediately purchase this piece of ground that you knew in the future, maybe not in this moment. Maybe you didn't understand fully in that moment what came with this discovery, but you knew there was a future in it. You knew there was possibilities in the future of what you just stumbled across. And it's like the kingdom of heaven. When you first came to Christ, when you came to Jesus initially, you had no idea what the future held for you. You had no idea the things that were in store for you. All you knew was, is that I must get rid of some things in order to obtain this thing. And when you obtain that thing, you begin to do what? You begin to excavate. You begin to dig into, what have I received? What have I gotten for myself in this revelation? Does this sound familiar? I feel like this is a base model for just everyone of how they've come to Christ. And I'll tell you this, isn't this exciting? That in the treasure that you found of Jesus Christ, let's just equate it to gold, amen? Let's say we just found a nugget of gold and we began to dig. Do you know, if you keep digging, you'll find more. You'll find more treasure. Do you know in Christ, if you'll keep digging, you'll find more? There's more to be had of Jesus. There's a never-ending supply of the goodness and the mercies and the graces of God. Isn't that wonderful? There's a never-ending supply of power, miracles. Nothing can take that away from you, that you've purchased this. You've set your claim on it. This is my Christ. He is mine and I am his. I found a treasure. See, at first, this man hid it away that others might not notice it, right? But I'll tell you what, as you begin to excavate, as you begin to dig in to this Christ, word's going to get out. Eventually, the riches of your find are going to be manifest. You hear what I'm saying this morning? See, when you first came to Christ, it may not have been noticeable to many people. It may not have been recognizable to people. But the more that you dig into this Christ, the more that people cannot get away from the reality that you have something that they don't have. It manifests in glory. See, I'll tell you what, you used to drive that old beater. But you get a little bit of that excavated gold out of there, and you begin to turn that gold into some cash. You don't live in the same house that you used to live in. You don't drive the same old ratty car that you used to live in. Folks, it's no different when Christ comes into your life. I no longer live in that sin that I used to live in. I don't live in it no more. I'm not transported from moment to moment through desperation anymore. There's life in me. There's hope in me. There's power in me. And I can't explain it other than I found something one day that changed my life forever. And I was willing to give everything that I had previous in order to obtain this for my future. Is that not Christ? Is that not how we've come into this? And day by day, the riches of his glory are poured out on our life more and more. And people can't help but take notice. It's like a merchant that was searching for a great pearl. See, I think all of us are searching for something, always moving and desiring something. And this merchant's no different. And he's searching for a great pearl. See, everyone's searching for something. But how many of us are willing to buy something that's counterfeit? It looks right, but it's not right. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about a salvation that the outward looks good, but the inward's disgusting. I'm talking about finding something that is priceless, something that just because someone says they have it doesn't mean they have it. But when you lay eyes on this priceless thing that I have, you know I've got it. Hallelujah. You know that person's got it when you lay eyes on it. And the merchant comes across it. He comes across it one day and he says, that's it. I'm a merchant. I've searched throughout my days to find this thing that they said is out there to find. But when my eyes have come across it, I now know that I found what I found. I'll tell you, that's how it was for me and Jesus. When I came into Christ, folks, I'd been raised around church my whole life. I've been raised around it my whole life, but there came a day where I laid eyes on a person that didn't just call themselves a Christian. They lived as Christ. And I said, whatever is in you, I will give everything. I would give anything to have what you have. Folks, it's a simple transaction. It's what Paul said. You remember what Paul said? When selling everything to obtain treasure, we must count everything as loss, despite its earthly grandeur. Philippians 3:8 says, yet indeed I also count all things for loss, for the excellence of what? The knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Folks, he's talking about the initial knowledge. Now you think about how small of a price the initial knowledge of Christ is in comparison to all you've ever had. But Paul is saying, just simply the introduction to Christ was worth everything in my life being nothing. That's how precious this knowledge is of Christ. That everything, just at the knowledge of it, that it's precious enough that everything you've gained in your life is meaningless in comparison. And I tell you, when you do have this Jesus, when you do have this Christ, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, this may be just my personal experience with it, but I wish I had 10,000 more lives to give Jesus just for what I found in him. Just in 12 short years of serving Jesus, I would give 10,000 more lives just like the one I have, so that I can give it to him because of what he's given to me in return. It's unbelievable to me. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's incredible. Folks, the treasure is Christ. And listen to this. The gospel is the field in which this treasure is hidden. It is hid in the word of the gospel, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is the gospel. And in the gospel ordinances, it is hid as the milk in the breast, the marrow in the bone, the manna in the dew, and the water in the well. Isaiah 12:3 says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. It's the honey in the honeycomb. It is hid not in a garden enclosed or a spring that's shut up, but in a field, an open field. Whoever will, let him come and search the scriptures. Let him dig in this field. Proverbs 2:4 says, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, and whatever royal mines we find, they are all our own. Folks, this gospel is yours to search. It's yours to take. It is yours to dive into, and whatever treasures you find in it are yours and yours alone. Isn't that incredible? If someone told you, I've got a gold mine, all you got to do is find it. Folks, you'd quit your jobs to go look for it. You would. You're sure there's one out there? I'm telling you there's one out there. You'd forsake everything to take up your search. Doesn't matter how old you are, what place you are, what culture you're from, you'd forsake everything to go obtain it, wouldn't you? If you knew it was there and it was yours to find. Yet, folks, the answers to life are taking up dust on our side tables in our homes. See what I'm saying? There's treasures in this. Folks, there's expositions of Christ. You know how I know that there is more to God than even just what we know or what we've unlocked through hundreds, if not thousands of years in this New Testament? Simply this. You remember Isaiah before the throne of God, and you remember where he gets there, and it says the doorposts were as if breath was coming out of the presence of God. The doorposts were expanding, and they were coming back in. The presence of God was so mighty and strong. And you remember what he said? He said, I see angels round about the throne, and they're going round and round, and they're saying the same thing. They're going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Remember that? See, from the naked eye, when you just read it off the page, it seems almost mundane. For eternity past, these angels have been honoring God with the same prayer over and over again, the same praise, the same worship. It almost seems mundane, doesn't it, as you read it off the page? But as the Spirit gives you revelation, you recognize that these angels are not saying the same thing over and over again. Every turn around the throne of God, they're seeing God in a new perspective. They're seeing God merciful in a way they've never seen God merciful. And they're going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They take another turn and their perception has changed again. I've never seen the grace of God this way. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And folks, every time I pick up this word, I find myself in the same place and position as those angels that have surrounded about God for eternity past. And every time I read them, I go, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I cannot believe the mercies that are shed for me. They follow me all the days of my life. Well, I've not been to all the days of my life. So every day when I receive a new mercy, I go, oh my God, I have never known you this way. Folks, it's a treasure daily walking with God. I stumble upon more and more of its wealth and its riches. And folks, one day after I've dug long enough, that gold nugget is going to turn into the streets of gold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, you're going to dig long enough. That thing that was so precious to you is going to come under your feet, and you're going to look up and you're going to see the majesty of that celestial city in the glory of God unhindered, because our view was skewed by the flesh. We're going to be immortal. We're going to be like him. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:3 says this, I know not yet what I shall be, but when I see him, I will be made like him. Hallelujah. Folks, every time you look into this book, you're looking into the mirror of God. This is his reflection. And every time I look into it, I cannot help but change. I cannot help but be changed more and more into his image. And folks, this is the price. This is the treasure, that the more that I look like him, the more the world realizes that I've struck gold in my life. Hallelujah. This word is powerful. Y'all gonna make me preach in here. Whew. Folks, it's not just these two parables that stand on the top of another. You go to this next parable. Let's read it together. The parable of the dragnet. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? I want us to look at this. The fish are men in their natural state. It's mankind in its natural state. And the preaching of the gospel is the casting of the net. Ministers are fishers of men, employed in casting and drawing this net. And then they speed. Did I write that wrong? Maybe I did. And then, when this is done, when at Christ's word they let down the net, otherwise they toil and catch nothing. At their own speed, that's what I was trying to write in my notes. Forgive me. Fallible preacher here. When they go in their own nature, men, even ministers, hear what I'm saying this morning. Even me, I can come up here and preach whatever word I want to preach, even if it's not what God's given me, and you wouldn't know it. Other than this, when I cast that net, I caught nothing. You remember the disciples? When it's at your own speed, when it's at your own peril, remember the disciples? They toiled all night. All night they toiled, and they caught nothing. But then Jesus showed up on the shore and he said, you're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. He said, put it on the right side. See, there's not a right and a left side. There's a right and a wrong side when it comes to the gospel. Amen? Y'all can put that on your refrigerator or in your Bible, whichever one you open more. I've been waiting a long time to tell that joke. But at man's own peril, when they let down the nets in their own abilities, preaching in their own abilities, ministering in their own abilities, the net always comes back empty. But at the word of Jesus, the word of Jesus, folks, the catch is so great. The catch is so great that men can't pull it in. They have to call in for others. Come in. Help me get this catch. And they pull it to the shore. Isn't that crazy? That's in your Bible. That's what's wonderful. It's in mine, but it's in yours too. Their nets are gathers of every kind, which means everyone's welcome at this gospel gate, as large dragnets do. And in the visible church, there is a deal of trash and rubbish, dirt and weeds and vermin, as well as fish. Anybody give me an amen on that? There's plenty of trash in the church. And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about bitterness. I'm talking about unforgiveness. Folks, when you cast that gospel net, you're going to get people that don't know how to church. You're going to get people that don't know how to live righteously. But when you bring them in, guess what? Guess what the disciples did when they brought them in? They couldn't get them up in the boat. Where did they bring them? To Jesus. Isn't that amazing? They didn't have to do none of the sorting. They didn't have to decide what fish stays and what fish goes. They just brought it to Jesus. He sifted through the weeds. He sifted through the muck. He sifted through the mire. And the fish that he wanted to keep, he kept. And those that were trouble, those that were spiky, those that were no benefit to the kingdom, he discarded. Folks, we don't have to do nothing but listen for Jesus. Throw our nets and bring it back to Christ. He'll deal with the rest. Amen? There is a time coming when this net will be full and drawn to the shore. A set time when the gospel shall have fulfilled that for which it was sent. And we are sure it shall not return void. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is the goodness of God. Folks, how does this build upon itself? Well, folks, we'd never get to the shoreline with our boats and fishing nets had we never found that precious gold nugget, had we never found that treasure. You see how it builds upon itself? The kingdom of God starts out small, but as you dig into it, as you begin to excavate into this word, into this life of Christ, it begins to grow. It becomes more manifest to those around you. It may start with just your husband or your wife. It may start with your parents. It may start with your kids. It may start with just a few. But I can tell you, the more that you put that net out, the more you're going to bring in. And it's going to grow. It's going to grow. This treasure that you found. Folks, I want to take you now to this next part. Because Jesus makes this very simple. You hear what he says? And Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? This is important for us. Because as a minister, as a Christian, God's desire is that you understand what he's talking about. Isn't that wonderful? God does not want you leaving here uninformed to go into a world that's uninformed and cause more confusion and chaos. So he asks his disciples, do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you understand what I'm explaining to you, what I desire for you? And this is what the disciples said, we understand. That signified to Jesus in this, If you didn't understand, I would have explained it to you. Because we look back in Matthew, right? Different parables. And his disciples came to him and said, we don't understand what you're talking about. And Jesus said, okay, let me explain it to you. Because I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you lacking in any knowledge or wisdom. I want you lacking in no treasure, no power, no mercy, no grace, no love. I don't want you lacking in any of those things. Because when Jesus sends us out, he wants us to be the ambassador of who? Christ. Of himself. And we can be like, you remember James and John, Zebedee? Remember those two guys? You remember when there were some people mocking them and Jesus? Do you remember what they said to Jesus? The Lord bring down fire from heaven on you. And what did Jesus turn and say? He rebuked them, right? He said, you don't know my heart at all. This isn't how the Son of Man desired to come into the earth with fire and judgment, but with mercy, with grace, with love and compassion. And you know what he called them from that day forward? The sons of thunder. You see what I'm saying? He marked them in their misunderstanding of what Jesus had come to do. And he said, you're the sons of thunder. You just blowing everybody up. Out of my heart, out of my will, out of my desire. So Jesus, even in our fallibility, even in our mistakes, he brings these men to the side. And he says, you misunderstood me, but I want you to understand me. That's the preciousness of the word of God, is it brings us in. And even when we misinterpret it sometimes, because we do, all of us do. We do. The Spirit of God comes upon us and leads us right back to that scripture and goes, this is my heart. Isn't that wonderful? Even when I make a mistake, God turns us right back before we make that mistake even worse and goes, listen, I have no trouble slowing down and explaining this to you. Minimum margin of error. That's one, and that's by the grace of God, because we'd make a mess, wouldn't we? We would make a mess. We wouldn't have come in like Jesus came in. Folks start spitting and throwing things at us. We'd have done some damage. We'd have rose up. We'd have been sons of thunders ourselves, daughters of thunder. So he says, do you understand all these things? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he said to him, therefore, listen here. Listen to what he says. Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Now, what he's saying here is simply this. Any person that says they understand, any person that understands the scripture, what I'm relaying to you, they're like a householder. They're like the master of the house. Now, don't let scribe mess you up as if this is a scribe is someone who studies, right? And comes to understanding through study. Any person that is a scribe and understands what I'm teaching you, you're like the master of a house where through the years, you have obtained riches and treasures, and you've stored them safely in your home. And listen to what it says. It's like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. So you've stored things away, right? You've been a good steward of revelation and knowledge and understanding. And as people come over and they inquire of you, or they're dwelling in your home, or they're guests in your home, you bring them out. New and old, so that they might be cherished and looked upon. Folks, this is the conclusion of the parables. Hear what I'm saying in this. This is the conclusion of the parables. That in your life, from that first moment that you receive this first treasure, this recognition of this treasure in a field, in a desolate place, all the way to the end, where new and old treasure, you've been seeking consistently throughout your life. You've stored all these things away and kept them like someone should, so that when someone does come over, you're able to share with them accurately, easily, the testimony of God. Your life is now, you know what a panoramic photo is? I have to make sure we got a bunch of generations here, right? Panoramic photo is, you can start the camera here, and then it goes all the way over to here. And then it backs up and it's the whole picture in one. Folks, it's no different. That's the view of people outside of Christianity into our life. Why do you serve Jesus the way that you do? Come into my home. Come into this temple and see my heart. I want you to see from start where I just stumbled upon this treasure when I was just walking in desolation, and follow this with me. Follow how as I dug, the treasure got greater and greater. And the mercies became greater, and grace became more overpowering than my sin. And then God gave me gifts of friendships. Look here. Look where God began to deal with my family. Look at the evidence. That's what the obtaining of treasure is. Look at the evidence of what I've found. So like a master of his house, when you bring, I'm not just telling you that I'm rich in mercy. I'm inviting you in that you might see for yourself. The evidence. I'm not just telling you I have treasure. I'm willing to put the treasure in front of you and show you the treasures of my life. Isn't that wonderful? So now he's concluded it. He's concluded the parables. Now look at the next few verses here. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there, and when he had come to his own country, and he taught them in their synagogue. So that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? This is not the carpenter's son. Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James and Jose, Simon, Judas, and his sisters, are they all not with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. Folks, the same person that was a treasure to you is going to be a stumbling block to the next person. Hear what I'm saying. Because of all of the goodness that Jesus is, all of the revelation that Jesus brought, all of the love that Jesus gave, when he came into this town, they did not see a treasure. They saw trouble. You hear what I'm saying? Folks, in this life, you'll have trial and tribulation. But fear not, for I've overcome the world. Not me, thank God. Jesus has overcome the world. He's done this. Folks, don't be discouraged with people who look at your life and they do not understand Jesus to be the treasure that you found him to be. You know, I used to make this statement a lot. I just want you to see Jesus the way that I see him. That's my prayer so many times. Because what's been revealed to me, if you could just see it the way that I've seen it, if it can be revealed to you the way that it was revealed to me, if in your place of disparity, the Spirit of God can show up and give you grace the way that he did to me, you would know that this person that I'm bringing to you, this evidence that I'm bringing to you, is not a stumbling block, but he's the answer to all things. He's the goodness of all things. That's Christ. Folks, we're going to have discouragement. We're going to have people in our lives that don't understand it. And all you got to tell, and I tell people this all the time, I get rejected all the time with the gospel. I try to preach it as often as I can to people that don't know Jesus. And you know, at the end of our conversations, more times than not, they go, "I just don't think I'm ready to give my life to the Lord. I'm just not sure this is really the path that I'm supposed to take or want to take." And you know what I always respond with? "It's okay." Because I recognize in our conversation that you are searching for something. You are looking for something. And all I'm trying to do is give you the cheat code. I'm trying to give you a shortcut to the truth. That's all I'm trying to do. I wish someone was in my life that would have given me a shortcut to the truth. I went through a lot of things I wish I wouldn't have had to go to get right here where I am with Jesus. And I'm trying to offer you that way of escape. And if you don't want it right now, that's okay. But I can promise you this. If you're really looking for truth, if you're really looking for truth, you're going to wind up in the same place that I did. In a field of desolation. And one day you're going to turn over a rock and you're going to find this treasure that I found. His name is Jesus. Folks, this scripture is life. Paul said to Timothy, he said, every word of scripture is breathed by the Spirit of God. We have to know this word. Peter says this in his epistle. He says, are you ready to give an account for the joy? Let's change that word joy to treasure, to the treasure in which you found. Are you ready? Do you have a response to someone when they ask you, hey, I can tell your life is different. I can tell something's going on in your life that isn't what your life was before. Explain to me. Do you have a panoramic view? Have you stored up these treasures of revelation that when someone comes to where you are and says, I need to understand, that you go, listen, all I can do is lay out the evidence, to lay out the treasure that I've found for you to understand. Do we have, each one of us have that testimony. By the word of the Lord, right? By the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, right? We have that testimony. Well, what's that testimony? There's 66 books of its proof right here. Folks, every time I read this Bible, I can place me in the position of almost every single character in it. Folks, this is my testimony. My testimony is Jesus' testimony. Because the more that I see him, the more I'm made like him. Amen? As the musicians come, I say musicians, a musician comes. If any more want to come, you're welcome. As we conclude today, it's 11:55. Don't praise God that we got done early. I'll know your hearts. Somebody ain't said amen all day until I said that. I'm just teasing. But I'd like us all to stand, if you can. I want to open the altars. I'm going to come down. And if you need prayer, if you need that evidence of God in your life, if folks, the beauty of the body of Christ is that, folks, I've not gone through some things that you've gone through. And I may wander into a place where I walk through something that you've already walked through. And if I come and I have a need of God to answer that, you know who I wouldn't want to pray for me more than someone who's been through what I'm going through? You know why? Because they can pray with accuracy. They can go, Lord, I remember when I walked through this. And I wish somebody would have muttered these words over me. I wish someone would have prayed these words over me. You can be that hand. You can be that voice. So if we're going through something today and you're going, Lord, your evidence is all around me. I remember that treasure that I found. Maybe you've not found it. Maybe you're still just wandering in the field. And you need prayer this morning. You need to say, I want what you're talking about. Maybe you found that treasure and someone just hasn't handed you a shovel. Someone hasn't just said, dig into this. Dig into this if you need some answers. We can pray for you this morning. I'm going to step down. If there's anybody that wants to come forward, if there's not, that's okay. We'll just pray. Seek the Lord generally. But if there's anybody here just says, you know what? I need prayer. I need someone's experience to pray over me for the experience that I'm going through. You'd be surprised how much experience is in this room. Amen. Is there anyone that will come?